first single, Moving On, which is, we're hitting the radio. It's more of like a Gary Clark Jr. bluesy rock thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was all about the riffs. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then the song you played, Paper Wings, it was all about the song. Like, you know, it goes between like Gary Clark Jr. type stuff, Jack White, Black Keys, and then to like a Ryan Adams, John Mayer type thing. You know what I mean? Awesome. It's just, you know, it depends on the gig. If you do all of it, I could do Americana blues rock stuff, or we'll play Summerfest in Milwaukee, which is like the biggest festival in the country.
Right.
Maybe we'll play Caboo this year in Del Mar, I'm hoping. But like that stuff is like rock and roll.
I'd love to see you. And I love the Caboo in Del Mar, and I'd love to see you there. That would be a perfect fit there.
Oh, man, I hope. Maybe one day. My good friends in Nashville book it, and I'm always like, please book me.
That'd be perfect for you.
Oh, yeah, I'd love it, man. But it depends on the gig, too, dude. Like this record we just did was more about the guitar playing. We played a festival in Dover called Firefly. It's just like Bonnaroo. And the band I brought, we rocked it out really heavy.
Right.
And the single that came out that day was Paper Wings. And so people are like, we thought you were an acoustic thing. We're like, well, we rock out too. So it just depends.
It's cool to give people a surprise once in a while. It's almost like a little slap. Here, surprise. Take this. If you just joined us, we're talking to Tyler Boone, singer, songwriter, and bourbonaire, I guess.
I like that, bourbonaire.
I like bourbonaire too. He's from Charleston, but he's here in studio with us right now. Latest song is Moving On.
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about Moving On.
Moving On is features my two buddies, Finnegan and Bell. They're from Charleston, but those guys are, I call them my sage to Nashville
because
they're badass writers.
Right.
And they got signed back in the day. They still do incredible stuff. And so I was like, man, these guys should sing on it. So they do the harmonies on it, but this song is more of like a riff rock and roll tune. And, it does have a hook to it, but it's more about the guitar playing.
All right. You ready to hear it?
For sure.
All right. This is Tyler Boone. Song is called Moving On. Listen. I love when a song ends like that.
Yeah, me too.
All right, we are with Tyler Boone, the name of that song. That's his latest single called Moving On.
Yeah.
That sounded pretty good, man.
Thanks, man.
That was rocking. That was rocking. Now, you're next Thursday, you're at the Italian Meets Bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on there?
So, you know, it's cool doing the bourbon thing because obviously it's always about the music first, but I was actually just texting my buddy Lewis earlier for that. They just, you know, doing that kind of thing is, especially, I think, for any kind of company, but in the first year for definitely a liquor, is you got to give away a lot of your product first. Right. So all these restaurants and things hit you up and like, dude, it'd be good promotion. You're like, yeah, well, that doesn't pay my bills.
Right.
But it's just, actually, there's a lot of buzz on that. It's just an Italian restaurant wanted to make a lot of things with the bourbon,
right,
which is cool. My mom does that. She did that for Christmas. She made all these meals with the bourbon, and then halfway through, we were like, I think I'm kind of drunk. It's so high proof, you know?
Right. It doesn't really cook out.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
Like the alcohol doesn't cook out.
Oh,
right.
My God, I think I'm wasted. But yeah, that town pop-up thing, I was just thinking Charleston, this is a restaurant. They just want to do something. I was like, yeah, sure, man. It's actually the day I fly back.
Okay.
So that'd be fun.
Now, do you have to play that? You're playing there as well, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just showing up and, you know, that's the thing, too, is like we do tastings all the time, which once we get this bigger distributor in California, that's the thing where, like, you know, and I'm not bashing anybody, but like there's a lot of, they call them celebrity brands,
right,
where it's like they'll have like, I'm not bashing them, whatever, but like Darius Rucker has one, Kenny Chesney has one, Keith Urban, da da da. But like usually they don't own it, they're just a part of it.
Right. They just put their name on it.
Yep. And they're getting some kind of royalty for every bottle sold.
Right.
And so they're not really pushing it. So then the way that we've been moving a lot is because I own it, is that I go and like, I'm like, hey, I actually own this thing.
Right.
And then the distributor loves that. So, you know, instead of just like, you know, having some guy, yeah, it's the biggest country star stuff, and that doesn't move. It doesn't sell.
He doesn't even drink it.
No, not at all. Right.
Yeah,
it doesn't even drink it.
Yeah.
So I do go play events like that, but we do a lot of tasting.
Right. Well, you can't bash them, but I can. I think that's pretty lame, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's like they'll have the cutout in the liquor store, you know, of a dude chilling there, and no one gives a shit. Yes.
Nobody gives a crud, I think.
Yes.
I think that's what I heard. So March 23rd, Woofstock. Now, this interests me really time, man. You're part of Woofstock?
So I helped plan that with my buddy Brian Foster. It's another thing in Charleston. It's called Low Country Dog Magazine. We partnered with another AAA station. Like I was telling you earlier, I love AAA radio.
Right.
And the one in Charleston is called 105.5 The Bridge. And I've been, you know, they were like the first station that started spinning when I was like 20 years old. I love those guys. And so we put this event on. It's going to benefit the animals of the low country. But we got Tyler Ramsey, another Tyler.
Right.
And he used to be in Band of Horses. So he's like doing his own solo thing, and he's going to be an incredible headliner.
I love the name of it, man.
Yeah.
I love the name.
Woofstock.
Big dog fan here. Dog fan.
Me too, man. I love dogs.
All right. Good. You know what? And again, this gives me the opportunity. If you're going to adopt a dog, adopt an elderly dog, if you would, man. Old dogs,
they need
the
love
coolest.
Too, man.
Yes. Yeah. They're the coolest. So when I was researching you, you had something going on with Dee Snider, right? So
what's this
competition that you had with Dee Snider?
So, you know, when you go to radio, you know, the song Moving On is definitely AAA format,
right,
but it's also pretty rocky.
Right.
So I went to rock radio with it too.
In Columbus, right?
And so it's a lot. So I did this, make an example of how these random stations in the Midwest hit you up. I did a tour with David Cook, guy from American Idol. I've done that like twice with him.
Right.
And he crushes the Midwest, and like rock and roll stuff does, because, and I'm not hating on the Midwest. There's just not a lot. It's a lot of fields. You know what I mean? And so you can play these tours and every show is freaking sold out all the time. And they're like, yeah, we just saw a show was coming. We just thought we'd come. And it's really cool. And so this random station in Columbus, Ohio, they just picked up the single. And they threw me in like what they call a cage match.
Okay.
With the songs, and then the people vote on it, and they spin them, and then, you know, obviously Dee Snider from Twisted Sister won. he like tweeted at me. He said something like, "You seem like a nice guy, but I'm gonna win." It was really funny. So
do you still keep in touch?
I mean, that was just Twitter. Right. You know, sometimes it's cool when some guy does that, and it was cool, man. Like a guy like that, where they actually are responsive and still interacting with their fans. That was neat.
Yeah, challenge him to a boxing match or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, D.
I wrote something. I was like, you want some bourbon? And he wrote back. He's like, I don't drink. I was like, oh, man.
But blew one sale.
It was cool. Yeah, blew one sale.
So I'm about to play a song called Paper Wings.
Yes.
And that's an acoustic song, right?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about Paper Wings and the process behind that.
That song was cool, man. I moved to Nashville, and my roommate didn't show up.
Right.
And my parents were freaking out. It was like 2014. I just graduated college. And my buddy Chris Wilcox, an amazing songwriter, was like, dude, get over here. You can stay in my house. Don't you drive back to Charleston. I was like, okay. So I lived with him for like 6 months. I'll never forget it. Like, he saved my life. But I was like all kind of beat up, like, man, like, am I supposed to be here? It's not working out right now.
Right.
And it was the first, Ryan Adams came out with his cover of Taylor Swift, 1989. And I don't like Taylor Swift. I was like, ah, but I love Ryan Adams.
Right.
And he made that album sound really cool. And so then I was just listening to that thing over. I was like, wow, like these are actually really good songs, you know? Yeah. And so I was just, you know, I always played like, you know, straight up guitar, no capo. Right. I think that's always a crutch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I'm in songwriter town. Everyone does that. So I was like, let's write a song with a capo on it. And so I wrote the song Paperwork. It's the first song. I lived in Nashville.
That is so inside, by the way. That's such an inside thing to know.
What do you mean?
When you write a song and you want it a certain way. That's just so inside, man.
Yeah, for sure. Right. And I thought, I was like, wow, this is a different way to write a song.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm not to be like a nerd, but it's like key E flat. So I would just play an E flat. You know what I mean? But it's you know, people don't know how to play all the theory of a guitar. It's in the shape of a C chord. You know, on the capo on the third fret.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they would call it a C. It's like, no, it's an E flat. So anyway, I was just like, oh, this is a different way to write music. Everyone here does these songs like this.
Right.
And so then I was the first one I wrote, and I kind of fell in love with that song. And I did that record with this guy named Brandon McCaff on East Side Nashville. He was kind of the guy where it's like, you know, Bro Country was really big in 2014.
Yeah.
And he was kind of doing like these other songwriter dudes that we would call Americana, and also maybe a little country. But like making the records really cool.
Right.
Not like this whole polished, glassy type thing. Like you could actually hear the instruments, you know? And so I was like, I remember I was meeting with all these producers and I went back to him. I was like, I got to do it with Brandon McCaff. And he made that song sound really cool. And that song came out and did some radio and it was on a Bravo TV show.
Now tell me about a reality show?
Yeah.
Where did you get that? Bravo.
Well, I think we're done with this conversation.
Isn't that where they marry prisoners or something? Yeah, like one of those shows?
Yeah, right?
I married an ex-con.
Yeah, and you get a rose or something.
So tell me about that.
It was a show called Night My Ex, and I didn't want to do it. And my really good friend, Steve-O, he's an A&R guy at Atlantic.
Right.
We don't work together, but he was a really good friend. And I lived on Music Row in like Harry Potter's closet, the smallest apartment ever, for like so much money. And I hit him up. I was like, I need to ask you like an opinion. Do I do this thing? He's like, man, he's a guy who signed Paramore. He's like, man, Paramore did that stuff. And the thing is, ask him to put your song in the show because that's worth it for you.
Right.
You'll get royalties and it's exposure. But if they don't, then it's like, hey, it's not doing it. So I was like, all right, put my song on the show and I'll do it. And I figured they'd say no. And they go, yeah, we'll absolutely do it. I was like, crap. And then Taylor Guitars, which I'm here for NAMM for, and I'll be doing like a session with them tomorrow in their big booth room. They're like, if you play that, play Taylor, we'll endorse you because it's on a national TV show. And so I was like, crap, I got to do it. So it was in Los Angeles. They flew us out, stayed with this girl for a night, whatever. It's like I dated her. And then it was the most stressful 24 hours of my life. There's no TV. There's no music because they have to license that.
Right.
So it was quiet the whole time. It was
silent.
So we had to talk. You know what I mean? And then we got kind of drunk and you know, it was just weird, man. So anyway, the song wasn't a show.
So here's the feeling I get. I get the feeling that after listening to you for like 2 or 3 minutes, and especially this last story, that all the guitar nerds on earth just high-fived each other.
Yeah,
It was like everybody just, what it was. So let's take a listen right now to Paper Wings.
Yes.
The acoustic song that I love this. I heard it before you came in and I'm digging it, man.
Thank you.
Right on. Paper Wings, this is Tyler Boone. KX93.5 in studio with Tyler Boone. And thanks for being here this morning, Tyler.
Thanks again for having me.
Oh, man. Loving this. Loving the music, first of all.
Thank you so much.
And a great conversation. There's nothing worse than sitting in front of someone who's just, Yeah. This is good, man. Right on.
Thank you.
So, obviously, you're a talented musician, an instrumentalist.
Well, thanks so much.
What was the first instrument you picked up?
Oh, dude, I played the trombone in middle school.
I would have never thought of that.
I hated it. But, you know, it was cool because it led to the guitar.
Right.
So, high school, I started doing sports.
Now, it led to the guitar because you hated the trombone so much?
And then I was in jazz band.
Okay.
And then there was the guitar player kid, and I was like, I want to do that. And so then I was in a metal band, though. We were horrible. But we did Battle of the Bands. It was a cool thing to do.
All right.
And then I started getting jazz lessons from this guy, Tom Magoya, and, you know, rest in peace. That man was amazing. He taught me everything. Because I went to Carolina for jazz, too, but he, like, taught me guitar. It was amazing. But I played trombone, and I told my dad one day, I think it was a sophomore, I was like, I hate it. He's like, my dad is an amazing singer. He's like, you need to keep playing music. I was like, no, I do. Just can we sell it and buy a Les Paul with it?
There you go. And he was okay with that?
Oh, he was ecstatic about it.
Right. And guitar lessons came with the Les Paul?
It came with that. I got in big trouble as a sophomore. I was I wasn't doing anything stupid. I wasn't like smoking cigarettes or drinking. I was just sneaking out the house, hanging out with my buddy Richard. We just walk around the neighborhood.
Right.
And I got caught and I got restricted to not grounded to not have guitar lessons. That was like a huge thing. It's like, not like, hey, you can't play video games. Like, you're not getting guitar lessons. It's like, oh. And so 6 months later, I was able to finally get them.
That's why the band sucked, because you didn't have the lessons, right?
Yeah, I was like playing like barely chords right, man. But yeah, it was guitar sophomore. That's when I started. Yeah.
Who were your influences growing up? What kind of music did you listen to? Who'd you love?
Well, it was metal.
Right.
It was Metallica. And then eventually my dad bought me a Strat, a Fender American Strat.
Right.
And he bought me a Crossroad DVD, the Eric Clapton Festival in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, you're
like,
hooked.
Like, it wasn't, it was like, you know, guys playing guitar differently. And then, like, with not distortion on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was like, what? You could play guitar like that? You know what I mean? And I remember, and I used to hate John Mayer. Thought he was like this pop dude, but he was smart.
Right.
He did pop to get in, and he's like, hey, check it out. I play guitar too. You know what I mean? And he had him in 2008 Crossroads. He had like these like polos, like his collar popped up, looked like an idiot. But he played a rendition of Machine Gun of Jimi Hendrix, and his Strat looked just like Stevie Ray Vaughan's. And then he did play this awesome and I just listened to it, and I figured it out, and I was like, wow, that is amazing. And so then my dad bought me a Strat loop just like Stevie Ray Vaughan's, that John Mayer played one just like it. And then I was hooked. And it's always been blues music. So like, you hear the rock stuff because that's what I love. But then, you gotta write songs too, which I love writing songs too. But it's just how it is. You know what I mean? You can't always just riff the whole time. But we'll get booked for like a festival and we'll do the songs. But then there's always a part where I could tell they really enjoy it, where we'll just jam for like 20 minutes.
Right.
And you know, people that love music are like, oh yeah, you know? But then if it's a songwriter thing at the Hotel Cafe, that's like the song.
Right.
So, like this Charleston Songwriter Festival, there will be no jam in there. You know what I mean? Unfortunately.
Right. Uh-huh. Now, let's say you run into John Mayer in public.
Yeah.
Are you saying, hey, man?
Met him like twice.
Right.
And then I kind of dated a chick when I was 20.
Right.
She was 28 for like a month. But she was in a band called I-9, and they were signed to the same management company as John Mayer. And like, he would come around. And then we did this once in college at Carolina. When I was 19, he came and rehearsed in the Coliseum,
right.
Like secretly for like 10 days for his Battle Studies tour. And we snuck in and went through all his guitars. Like, and we could have taken him. Like, we were going through his stuff.
Right.
And we're like, oh my God. But the reason I was flipping out was because his guitar tech, I forget his name, but he was Stevie Ray Vaughan's guitar tech.
Oh, yeah.
And so he knew all this stuff. So we saw him, but we weren't supposed to be there. And I wanted to be like, hey, dude, what's up? But it was like midnight. And he heard us. And we ran out. It's awesome, dude.
Like Tom Cruise hanging from the ceiling in Mission Impossible.
Yeah. I want that guitar. That was crazy, man. We were 19 years old and we pulled that off. But anyway, yeah, I mean, if I saw John Mayer, I'd be like, dude, what's up? You know what I mean? But, you know, I think, you know, in his early days, fame was really incredible, because he was, it was like the day of the song, like Jason Mraz, Michelle Branch, John Mayer, all those dudes, Matt Nathanson, they were like the songwriter realm,
right?
And they were really famous, and he was the one that kind of kept going with it. And I think now, like, I think he's like 41, 42. And you just see these interviews where he's like, all right, I think he's like a person now. You know what right. I mean? Where he's like, I want to help out people.
He's rounded out a little bit. I think he has. He has rounded out.
So I think it would be a really cool conversation. If I ever got to jam with him or Gary Clark Jr., I could die happy the next day.
All right. Yep. All right. That was going to be my next question, cool. man. It was, who else would you want to jam with? That's pretty cool.
Those guys are like, even like, there's like Doyle Bramhall II. I'm not sure you heard of him. His dad like was in Steve Ray Vaughan's band. He produced Gary Clark Jr.'s album. He's now like, I'm big on AAA radio. He's like a blues dude, but he's got tunes with it. Kenny Wayne Shepherd would be awesome. Right. Any of those guys that play the Crossroad Festival.
All right, right on. So now you have an EP that drops tomorrow, Jealousy.
Yep.
All right. And I'm going to play Jealousy, the song right now.
Sure, yeah.
Tell me about that.
That EP was really cool. We did the Firefly Fest in 2016. I had this band where it was just like the bass player. We still play a lot of shows together. George, he puts like fuzz on his bass.
Right.
Rickard, who produced the EP, who's worked with like Shinedown and all that awesome cool stuff. He's like an AC/DC drummer, like, you know. And then I had this guy JR, who's just like fanatic. He just jumps around everywhere, and he's an amazing guitar player. And we were just playing the show, and I had a whole other guys come sit in for that thing because it was a festival. But they were the core group, and I was like, man, this is really cool. And we all said like, we should document these tunes eventually.
Yeah.
So we did. It took a long time because Shinedown always comes in the studio, and it's owned by the bass player Eric Bass. And you got to get out. So right. We would be working on it, and they'd be like, hey, you got to get out tomorrow. Bass is back. Like, ah. So it took a long time, but these tunes were, it was cool. Like, I've done co-writes for like songwriter stuff in right. Nashville, but this was like, we actually got in the studio, and I've always hired a band.
Right.
And, you know, because it's my name, so they get paid. But this was the first time where I had like a band where we're like, let's write it out. And it was really cool.
All right. You know what I loved? I loved the AC/DC drum description.
Oh, he's a human metronome, dude. But he is loud.
Awesome. So we're going to hear Jealousy. In case you're just joining us, this is Tyler Boone in studio with us at our Pearl Street Studios. Check it out. Jealousy.
No, you can't move me. No, you can't move me. I was everything you had. Now you got this jealousy. So get away from me. Get away from me. I'm tired of this confusion. You know this, it ain't meant to be.
how much I love that song?
Sure, go right ahead.
Man. Yeah. That's my favorite, man. I love that song.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's just got a great vibe to it, man. A great rocky feel to it.
Starts out slow and then blows up.
Now, you said your bass player wrote it?
I had it starts off with a B minor flat chord to E flat minor chord, just right. Brown, brown. And he's like, nah, man, we got to write this riff to it. And he took that song away. You know, and then, you know, you write a song with somebody, man, you got to split it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, all the guys got this whole EP. I don't own the whole song. I own 25% of all of them. And they're like, what? And we got a royalty check last week. And they're like, we got money. I was like, it happens. You know what I mean?
Every once in a while.
But I think he might play Short Skirt Bernese. That song did really big on radio 2017. And he wrote most of that.
Right. That song's coming up next. I'm curious about it because I hadn't heard it yet. So I'm curious about it.
It's a banger. It's just really aggressive. Right. And it was cool because that was the first time I went hard to AAA radio with my guys, All Access Malibu, John Schoenberger, Ken Anthony, and Joel Denver. They're like rock and roll legends. And they've always helped me out a whole bunch. And that was cool because they were like, man, this could do really well on AAA because some AAA is a little alternative, you know?
Right.
But then Ken Anthony's like, this is kind of active rock, and active rock is looking for good music because everyone's on AAA now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that song exploded, man. There's a station in Alaska that spun it 40 times a week. I was like, this is crazy. But Moving On didn't do too big on active rock because it's a rocker, but it's kind of mellow.
Right.
But this song was cool, man. George wrote the crazy he wrote the solo section, and I was like, dude, we got to stay in a band.
Yeah. So your next few weeks, what do you have coming up in the next few weeks here?
Man, this was really cool that Alyssa was like, you need to come do the show. I was like, thank you so much. And so this was a big highlight of it. And then we got NAMM, and then I have to go to the Union City.
Now, tell our listeners what NAMM is.
NAMM is National American Music Manufacturer Convention.
Okay.
And there's Winter NAMM here in LA, and that's the big one. It's international.
Right.
And then there's Summer NAMM in Nashville, and they're trying to grow that one. It's not that big.
Right.
But NAMM is just incredible. There's huge concerts.
Okay.
There's secret shows. There's, for people who've never been, the biggest thing is the floor.
Right.
Where it's the main floor, where it's booths everywhere. It's like Comic-Con.
Okay.
It's like, instead of comic books, it's guitar pedals and guitars and violins, and it's everything.
Right. Where is it taking place?
In Anaheim.
Okay.
So there's nothing there except that.
That's right, man. There's
Disneyland. That's it. When people when they stay there, they're like, ugh. Because there's nothing to do, man.
Right. Well, you know, who's going to spend $500 to go into Disneyland now, man?
You're just like, I guess I'll drink at the Hilton.
There you go.
But it is really cool. I started going 4 years ago. As a guest of Taylor Guitars, now I go as an artist of Taylor Guitars, and it's really cool, man.
Do they treat you differently from guest to artist?
Well, it's really cool when people, because everyone, it's the music business, and everyone's looking at each other's badges, hey, nice to meet you. And you could tell they look, and I do it too. You're like, who are you here with?
Right.
And they'll see artists, and they'll go, oh. And then my whole conversation starts. I'm a lawyer. You're like, oh, yeah? Tell me what you do. But, we saw my friend MJ, and we're going to do it again. I always say it wrong. Angelico Guitars. I know I'm saying it wrong. But they're right across from Taylor,
right.
And both those booths have huge stages. And so everyone goes sees the music because there's music there,
right.
No matter who's playing. And Bob Weir played last year, a secret show, right. And it was so freaking funny because we didn't know if we were going to get in, me, my buddy Sean, and this other kid. And MJ's like, hold on, let me check. And then
on his badge, it said the other kid.
Yeah. The other kid. Well, that's the thing. It was a secret show. NAMM's closing. He knew about it because he was a huge Grateful Dead fan.
Okay.
And so he took off his, he was a student. He took off his suit or something, and he had a tie-dye shirt on. I was like, oh.
He's
real. Yeah. And then MJ came walking. All right. So Tyler, him and his two friends, and he goes, three. And I was like, what? He goes, dude, you have to. And I was like, okay, fine. Yeah, he's with us. And he would email us for months. Right. Buddy Sean, thank you so much. If I could do anything, dude, it's cool. But it was an open bar, so we're like, hey, go get our drinks for us.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, put them to use.
It was cool. Bob Weir played it's always 100 people. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Stuff like that happens. Right. But it's cool.
If you're just joining us, this is Tyler Boone. Tyler Boone has some great music out right now. You can find it. Where else can people find you on social media?
Just Tyler Boone Music. T-Y-L-E-R-B-O-O-N-E. Everyone loves Spotify, all that good stuff, but It's just Google it.
Now, one of our listeners asked me earlier when I announced that you were going to be here, any relation to the Boone family, the Pat Boone, any relation? Yeah. You have a Pat Boone?
Yeah, so I guess he's like a cousin.
Right.
And I reached out to him once, right. And he's just, I guess he's a busy guy. Right. And he played Nashville once. And I was like, hey, man, love to meet you. I'm living here. Like, we talked once before in Cal, because he lives out here.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, you can. I'll come sign something for you. I was like, okay.
But you don't really know him, huh?
No, but like, yeah. I think my parents... Right. My dad's side of the family actually did.
Right.
You know, then there's like relation to Daniel Boone.
Right.
He's like our eighth great uncle, discovered Kentucky, you know. Right. So everyone loves how the Boone's bourbon looks really, you know, old fashioned.
It does. Like, it has that original
Jack Daniels
1840 look. It really does.
Western. So that's cool too, because a lot of people have actually tried to make some kind of affiliate of bourbon to Daniel Boone for that kind of audience.
Right.
And you just Google Boone and bourbon, like there'll be more things that pop up,
right.
But it's no affiliation to Boone's Farm wine. That stuff sucks.
Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill. Get drunk for 35 cents,
right. And then have the worst hangover of your life. But it's funny. I'll make this quick story. Someone stole our website. It was boonesbourbon.com,
right.
And these labels in the back we're about to get new ones.
Right.
It still says boonesbourbon.com. Some guy stole the website. Right. Now it's drinkboonesbourbon.com. But Daniel Boone lived all over the place. We lived in a place called Joshua Tree.
Right.
Or, I know, not Joshua Tree. Oh, my God, that's here.
Yeah.
Judgment Tree.
Judgment Tree.
And so they would, you know, it was like back in the day of settlement, and he was like the judge and the guy who married everybody. Right. He was in charge of the whole town. And so if you messed up, if you stole something, whatever, they would whip you or something out of the judgment tree. You wouldn't do it again, right?
Right.
Back in the old days. And so they named this distillery Judgment Tree in Judgment Tree, Kentucky. And so it was after Daniel Boone. And one day, I think I was like, did I renew my website? And I go and I type it in, and it goes straight to their website. And I hit him up, and I was like, hey, can I get my website back? Like, we actually are related. Like, we would really appreciate it. We just started this company. We have no money. You know what I mean? Like, right. We're just trying to survive. And they were like, yeah, how much is it worth it to you? I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not only do you steal from me, but you're going to be a tool on top of it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you suck.
But anyway, but yeah, man, Daniel Boone, Pat Boone, all that stuff. All
right. Well, Tyler Boone is the name that we care about, man. We're so glad you're here. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. We're gonna end this with Short Skirt and Bare Knees. Is that the name?
Short Skirt, Bare Knees.
All right. It's a rocker.
It's a rocker.
All right. Let's do it. By the way, thank you again.
Thank you. And enjoy, I know you like tequila, but
that's okay. You know what? We'll make allowances.
Nice.
I'll be a sipper. I'll sip the Boones.
Awesome.
Anything else you want to say to these people before we go?
Dude, this station's been playing my music for a long time, and it's really awesome to kind of step in the studio. So thank you.
You're awesome, man. Thank you. All right. That was Tyler Boone. And this is a song called Short Skirt, Bare Knees.
Awesome.
All right.